Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. You're going to be glad you hung out with us because our good friend Tom Travis is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Tom is a managing partner of Sandler Travis & Rosenberg, which is a law firm that specializes in helping companies like yours and mine, not unlike yours and mine, even small companies, put their best foot forward in the global economy, in the global marketplace. And he's one of our top trade experts in the Brain Trust, and he's here right now. Tom Travis, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
It's always good to have you back. First, before we talk about trade among countries, you do a lot of traveling around the world, and we hear a lot about a global recession, a global economic downturn, that kind of thing. As you've traveled around, I know you've just come back from the Orient, from Asia recently. As you travel around and you talk to people who are doing business, who are making plans for 2009 and for 2010, that sort of thing, what are you seeing out there?
The impact is much the same it is in our country. Companies are cutting back. People are down, grading their forecasts, their prospects. This global economy is integrated, and when we are hurting here in the United States, it reverberates around the world. I just came back from Korea and China, the three different cities in China. I've talked to a lot of people, and they are mightily concerned about their future, what this global economy means to them, what it means to us, and how we're going to rebound from it. The same story in Korea as well. People are still hopeful that governments can provide whatever intervention and remedial actions they might decide to pursue. But it's going to fall back on the as it usually does, on the backs of entrepreneurs to try to work their way through it.
Recently the Chinese government actually either did or at least talked about some kind of stimulus. I'd never heard of that happening in China before.
But they're certainly, well, not like that. They provided incentives for their industries,
right,
throughout their development.
Right.
But this is a massive stimulus program that Hu Jintao, the president, has announced, and they're going to pursue. It met with some happiness by the factory owners, but a lot of factories are shuttering down. We see certainly a downturn in the exports to the rest of the world, a downturn in their imports from the rest of the world as well. So there's a lot of retrenchment going on, and I think that's inevitable. When we do talk to the government officials, they are clearly concerned as well, and their main concern is keeping people employed, just like it is in the United States.
Right. Do you think that the global challenges we have now is because, how much of it do you think is excesses in the economy that have to be wrung out, and how much of it, which has been the classic ways that we've gotten ourselves in economic problems over the decades, or how much of it do you think is just an issue between our ears? We're not trusting people. We're not trusting our institutions. We don't trust our trading partners, the financial institutions. What do you think?
Well, I think it's all of the above. I think there's a fundamental mistrust in institutions, which is manifested everywhere. But I also think the lack of liquidity in the financial system, you know, it comes right home to the individual. It comes right home to the individual small business owner, wherever that person may be.
Yeah.
Getting export financing, import financing is becoming more difficult. Buying homes is becoming more difficult. And the availability of credit is really hurts people involved in all businesses, especially international transactions.
What do you think about, in terms of the outlook, Do you think this is something that people are anxious to? Where do you think we are in that continuum of feeling positive? You think people are, the people you're talking to are looking forward to when they can trust people again, or do you think that they're still buttoning up and protecting?
Well, Jim, I'm fortunate like you. We live in a world of entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs are by definition optimistic. They want
we're pathological
forth, they
optimists.
New challenges. Yes, we are, and we're condemned to it, thank goodness.
Yes, exactly.
So I do see that, and that spirit is still there. People want to go out, and throughout the world, no matter what regime is in power, in what country, people have that capitalist spirit. They want to make better lives for themselves and their progeny, and that's the hope everywhere. Having said that, the prospects are difficult right now, and our prognosis is certainly not clear because of the crisis in liquidity. People need financing. They need financing to move forward, to expand, and that confidence is not there yet.
Tom, it seems to me, you correct me if I'm overstating this, but it seems to me our institutions and a number of individuals at a high level, and when I say institutions, I mean corporate and government institutions, have put together a perfect storm of incompetence, greed, and corruption that's gotten us into this mess, and that's what I believe. But I believe that small business owners around, not just in the United States, but around the world, are going to be the people who will lead us out of this. What do you think?
Well, that is absolutely true. Small businesses everywhere generate the energy and the economic activity in economies that really do make a difference. And that's our hope, and I think you're right about that. Where the blame lies, I'm going to leave that to historians. But we know we're in a problem area here. We know certain institutions failed us in terms of controls, in terms of oversight. And we got into personal habits of, and certainly in this country,
yep,
of spending and not saving. And that's hurt us badly as well.
Mm-hmm. No,
I think
no question.
I think this lesson that we've all learned has certainly changed our consumption habits. But we are a nation of consumers. More importantly, we're a nation of dreamers and builders. And that's embodied nowhere better than in the small enterprises and medium-sized enterprises in this country.
Absolutely.
So
Tom, give us your website, please.
It's str.com, San Juan Travis Rosenberg.com.
str.com.
str.com. We'll
yeah.
Get you right into the website.
Hold on to that thought, Tom. Tom's going to be right with us one more segment. We come back, I want to talk to him about the dangers of protectionism and why we need to make sure we keep the communications and the trade going among nations. We must do this, in my opinion. We'll see what he has to say about it on the other side of these messages. 20 after the hour, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz, and my blog, jimsblog.biz. And you can find all of those three things at the mothership, smallbusinessadvocate.com. So if you'd rather do that, that's fine. Just remember that address, smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can find the blog, you can find the knowledge base, and lots of other stuff. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Comes every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. Tom Travis is our guest, managing partner of Sandler, Travis, and Rosenberg, which is a law firm out of Miami, right, Tom?
We have offices all around the country, Jim. But, yes,
right.
We're headquartered in Miami, but we have offices everywhere.
Yeah.
But
and
a lot of countries as well.
Yeah, exactly. Tom, let's talk about trade. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize, unless they've been listening to my show and maybe perhaps to you and a few other people, is that one of the huge reasons why we had the Great Depression was protectionism in the United States in the form of something called the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act. And so one of the things that we cannot do at this juncture in our economy, in the global economy, is for countries to put up a bunch of trade barriers. What do you think?
We cannot do that. We are an integrated global economy. From the moment you wake up in the morning and have your coffee imported, your sugar probably imported, could be domestic as well. You get into your car made with foreign parts, even if it was made in the United States. You drive to your office and your computers. We are connected globally. We are in a global economy. We cannot cut it off, and it would be terribly unwise to do so. As to protectionism, we got to fight that. Because that is going to raise the prices for people, it's going to restrict economies, restrict markets, and we all know from all our experience as a country and all our experience as individuals, when you restrict opportunity, it's not a good thing.
Well, there's one other thing that I talk about all the time, Tom, and I don't hear a lot of other people talk about, and this takes me back to what I've read of the writings of Frederick Bastiat, that great economist, French economist of the 19th century, who said, when goods cross borders, armies don't. And my point is, trade is a great way to gain a peace dividend. It's a great way to prevent prevent wars. Trade is, in my opinion. And for example, one of the best ways to neutralize communism is to trade with their neighbors, like, and I'm talking specifically now, Tom, about Colombia. I think it's a travesty that we haven't given President Uribe of Colombia the trade agreement to help him continue to stick his finger in the eye of Chavez, his neighbor. What do you think?
Absolutely so, but it's worse than that, Jim, if I may say so. This is a guy who is winning a war against terrorism in his own country.
Yep.
He is a free market advocate. He has risen the hopes and aspirations of its people, and more importantly, their economic gains are measurable and they are manifest. And this is a fellow who deserves it, but the country deserves it. And the irony of the whole thing is that right now, most Colombian exports to the United States come in duty-free. What this agreement would do is permit our exports to enter Colombia duty-free.
Right.
But it's not just the Colombia agreement. There's a pending agreement with Korea, which is incredibly important for us. The South Koreans sit there next to a belligerent communist neighbor, and they are looking at that threat every single day with our soldiers helping their soldiers defend themselves. This is an economy which also has negotiated an expansive free trade agreement with us, which is a terrific agreement. It has labor protection, environmental protection, health and safety for the food.
Why aren't these passing?
It's all in there.
Why aren't these passing?
Well, I think there's clearly some antipathy on this issue between the outgoing administration and the Congress, and there has been for a long time, and it's hung up right now on something called trade adjustment assistance. That's the Democrats are asking for increased assistance when workers are displaced in this economy by reason of global exchange and the economy. And I think that issue does need to be addressed, because we're a nation that does look after folks that are in desperate straits, folks that lose their jobs, and we take care of our own. And their plea is really to increase that aid so it's meaningful. On the other side, the president wants these agreements passed and has been unwilling, apparently, to negotiate that sort of deal, and the Democrats have been unwilling to move off their demands. So we're stuck right there. In addition, during a heated presidential contest, statements have been made about the various agreements. On the Korean agreement, President-elect Obama is not happy with the number of automobiles we export to the Koreans. We solved our beef issue with exports to Korea, excuse me, but we have not. That issue is still going to plague us on that agreement. As to the Colombian agreement, I can't think of any reason that we shouldn't support that wholeheartedly. And in fact, we do. There are problems in Colombia like there are problems in the United States. However, the problems on the labor side have gotten they are in an economy and in a country where there are issues. And President Uribe has addressed those issues forcefully, completely, and I hope that the Congress will see fit to pass that important agreement.
And Tom, now with the Russians cozying up more and more to Chavez, don't we need? I mean, we've got to do whatever we can to support that the tiny nation of Colombia. It's just imperative. Real quick, do you think that the Obama administration will pass free trade agreement with Colombia?
I'm hopeful that they will. I think the Colombian government has bent over backwards to do everything they can to satisfy the Congress, and I'm optimistic they will. I believe that President Obama will be engaging in world own economic policies, including the agreements, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Tom. Tom Travis, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.